Father, we thank you and give you much praise for your word. When we look at Ezra's life, Lord, and his hunger and his love for you, and his hunger and his love for your word, wanting to know it, following hard after you. Lord, we don't have anything different than Ezra. We have your word. Help us to follow hard after you. Help it to be in our hearts. None of us need more information on the Word of God. We just need to be doers. And that's what made Ezra so special, is that he was a doer of your Word. So help us, Lord, with this man, that we could learn, all of us could learn something special for ourselves and take it home and use it this week. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Well, we're looking at a second return here, and Ezra is going to be leading it. And it's interesting to me. I don't know much about anything, but their first return was about 50,000. And then this return is about 2,000. And I thought, why didn't the whole troop get up and go back to Israel? But they didn't. I just thought that was kind of interesting. It was kind of a select few. But when Ezra got back, he found the temple had been rebuilt, but the lives of the people were in shambles. And that is exactly next week's lesson. He had a big problem with intermarriage with the foreigners. There's a question on that, and you can have fun with that. You know, we don't have any hard and fast answers. I think the foreigners probably were better looking. But you can put down whatever you want. But it was very dangerous because it would threaten the spiritual future of the nation. Just remember when Joseph and Mary went down to the city of David, Bethlehem. Have that come back to you, that this is all tied together. Well, Ezra prayed for guidance and then followed through with action. You and I today, as Christians, must strive to keep our lives pure. We think, well, I don't do this and I don't do that. I'm pretty pure. And maybe God has a whole different idea for your life. Look after it. Don't let sin and all the allurements of the world push you and mold you into its way of thinking. It's really hard to get out of that. Compromised lifestyle is no lifestyle at all. Well, then the question comes up, who was Ezra? I think that that's the best question in the lesson, because we don't hear much about him. And when you start looking into it, like Ezra 7:1, you find that he's of the lineage of Aaron. So where does that put him? It makes him a priest. Well, why wasn't he acting like a priest? There may have been several reasons other than something in connection with his taking these people back. God moved him in a different direction. There was a whole standard for priesthood. He may not have passed one of those, I don't know. The interesting thing, I think, is that he was born in Babylon. He was not born in Jerusalem. He had never seen Jerusalem in his life. Now, would you be too anxious to take a group of people back to a place where you had never seen? You know, it's a lot to think about. That's a lot of faith. It had been 80 years since that other group had gone back. I thought afterwards that 80 years was probably a good amount of time to have things cleaned up. So I wouldn't have to work so hard if I were on that second trip. But it had gone by. And I think that's another thing that's hard in these lessons, is we don't have any timeline. We kind of go from one chapter to the next chapter and kind of question what's going on here, or how long has this been? I'm sorry, the scriptures don't give us a timeline like that. Ezra had become well versed in God's law, which Moses had given to the people. And how did he become? I wish I put that in your lesson because that really bothered me. How did he become an expert in the law? When you think about it, here he is, born in Babylon. It seems like he'd become an expert in Nebuchadnezzar's law or whoever's law was on the ballot at that time. But no, he was an expert in the law. And I just love this because this is where I'm at. Ever since I got into the Word, I want more. And I figured the other day I've been in 50 years. Now I should be very spiritual. Seems like the more I know, the less I know. And you work it out. But I just love His Word all the more. I read through a Bible every year, and I can't get enough of it. It's a beautiful thing to do. If you've never done that, try it. Try the Living Bible. Try something easy. Well, Ezra was a scribe, and he made lists. And I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd want to be married to him. Oh, dear, you're making another list. I'm sorry. Daniel and Ezra are going to take me aside when I get to heaven. Anyway, we do know that he was of the priestly line, but he wasn't acting or functioning as a priest. What he became was a teacher. And that has been my desire, is I just want people to get into the Word of God. We're a mess as a country because we've thrown God out, we've thrown His Word out, we've taken in Darwin, everybody's working, nobody's raising the kids. I mean, you can just go on and see the mess we're in. And I just would like to take people's heads and pour what I know from the Word into people's minds and heads so that they'd be encouraged and have light for their path. Before Ezra could do anything, he had to get a decree. A degree? No, not a degree, a decree. He needed permission of the king. After all, Israel's never owned Israel until 1948. Somebody else has always owned it and let them have it or let somebody else have it. And I found it kind of interesting, too, that Ezra would teach the law as they would leave the land. That way he could teach many before they ever got back there. And I thought that was an important thing of God, because the people in the land weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. He had to get this decree from King Oh, you're good. It was like a passport allowing him to move along, because they could have been run amok on the road. That paper would be very, very important. The king's was a generous decree. It showed that God was blessing Ezra, and apparently he had some kind of a prominent role in his kingdom, because they seemed to know each other pretty well. And he was very generous. Found a blurb in, of all things, the Living Bible. But I thought this list was pretty good. It says, this is the king now speaking, "Moreover, you are to collect voluntary temple offerings of silver and gold from the Jews and their priests in all the provinces of Babylon. These funds are to be used primarily for purchase of oxen, rams, lambs, grain offerings, and drink offerings, and all that which will be offered upon the altar of your temple when you arrive in Jerusalem. The money that is left over may be used in whatever way you and your brothers feel the will of your God. And take with you the gold bowls and other items that we are giving to you for the temple of your God in Jerusalem. If you run short of money for the construction of the temple or for any similar needs, you may requisition funds from where? The royal treasury. He would pay for it. I, Artaxerxes, the king, send this decree to all the treasurers in the provinces west of the Euphrates River. You are to give Ezra whatever he requests for you. And he is priest, teacher, and of the law, and the God of heaven, up to $200,000 in silver, 125,000 bushels of wheat, 990 gallons of wine, any amount of salt. Oh, it was interesting they included salt. And whatever else the God of heaven demands for his temple, well, God doesn't demand, so. But they would risk God's wrath if they didn't do that. He would really get upset with them. It says, and you, Ezra, are to use the wisdom of God that he has given you to select and appoint judges. Oh, that was astounding. And other officials to govern all the people west of the Euphrates. Can you imagine? Somebody gifted in the word of God, able to appoint godly men to run the country. Wouldn't that be fun today? Anyone refusing to obey the law of God and the law of the king shall be punished immediately by death, banishment, confiscation of goods, or imprisonment. Very, very serious. What a king. I wanted to pass that on to you because I thought that was pretty good. Ezra demonstrates how a gifted teacher can move people out and move people ahead. And he was effective because he was determined to obey. You just think about that. If you have to lead a group of people, think about what their needs are. They're much more apt to follow you if they can trust you. And if you can demonstrate that in your life. And I think Ezra was such an amazing example. Other than his list giving, he would make a good husband. Because he taught by both ways, by example and the way he spoke. You know, think back on how you brought up your kids. Well, we all make mistakes. But it's never too late. Never too late to encourage them. Never too late to love them to pieces. It's just amazing. Anyway, he got this edict, and they were able to take off. And it was not just a little drive. It was a four-month hike. Think of that. That's like walking to L.A. and back again. Not on Highway 5, though. That's too boring. But the king was very generous, and I was really taken with that because they needed that, especially when he gets back and finds things aren't like they should be. Then there was a little blurb there. I don't remember where I found it, but I thought this was so neat, especially this time of year. It says, I will also decree that no priest, Levite, choir member, gatekeeper, temple attendant, or any other worker in the temple shall be required to pay. I love repeating that. Taxes of any kind. Now, wouldn't that be a deal? Come save us from our taxes. Anyway, see, I entertain myself as I'm doing a lesson. I think, wow, that would be quite a deal. Go, Ezra. Anyway, and you and Ezra, the wisdom that God has given you shall select the appropriate judges. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Here he is, God-given and God-inspired and God-driven, and he's appointing people that think like he does. Oh, that would be so nice. Anybody that refused to obey the law of your God, now this is the king speaking, the law of the king shall be punished, and especially rather seriously, it would be by death. I just thought this whole thing was quite amazing, and it would be imprisonment. Why? Can you imagine? Well, Ezra praised God for all he had done for him, such as the king honoring him and causing the king to know God was with Ezra, and this caused more Jews to go with Ezra. If you had an opportunity to ask Ezra some questions. What kind of questions could you come up with? I was playing around with it. See, I do a lot of fooling around while I'm doing my lesson. But I thought, let's see, what would I ask him? Why would you go? You've never seen the place. It's probably a mess, I've heard. So why don't you stay here in Babylon? How did you get so high ranking? Did you step on other people like they do today? Or did you push your way to the top? Did you bribe others? So there's all kinds of questions you could have asked. But I think it's so beautiful, and don't ever lose sight of this. Ezra came back and said, not to our questions, but similar questions, the good hand of God was upon me. Ezra took absolutely no credit. Well, I memorized these scriptures, or I studied under priest so-and-so, or I did this, or I did that. Nothing, none of that. It was all the good hand of the Lord was upon me. Do you know that this phrase is found 6 times in chapter 7 and chapter 8? When you think about it, here's this obscure Jewish priest who knew the scriptures and he gave all credit to God. And 6 times the good hand of the Lord was upon me. Think on that. This week, think on that. The good hand of the Lord was upon me. He guides. He directs. We don't do it ourselves. Our next breath we can't even get without the Lord. I can tell you that, having COPD. It's difficult. Remember, Jesus said in the New Testament something very similar. He said, without me, you can do nothing. But you know, God uses all kinds of people to help us. Artaxerxes was just one of those people at that time there to help Ezra. And then I started thinking about my own life and each of us. Anyone here that says that they're the Lord's, that they're a Christian, somebody has prayed for them. We just don't accidentally come into heaven. It may seem like it at the time, but God works people out to be in the right place at the right time. And the wonderful thing is for myself was the Word of God was really life-changing. I just couldn't get enough of it, and that's why I want you to have more too. It's so wonderful. So if you're sitting here and you're saved, thank God for the person that prayed for you. You may not even know who it is. Might be a grandmother, might be a neighbor, might be the lady down the street. Keep yourself busy praying for people. Who knows who you might meet in heaven? They just might turn up. And of course for me, I just really got turned on. Well, why the fasting? And that doesn't apply to us today, does it? No fasting for today. Well, I have a few verses. I definitely would fast if I had a son or daughter that wasn't walking with the Lord. Isaiah 58:5 and Micah 6:7, Amos 5:21 through 23, and Zechariah 7:5. And you can make your own list on fasting. Does it always mean food? No. It may mean something far more valuable to you. Although that's a good one. God does amazing things. And I think the thing with Ezra was that he saw Ezra's heart and his determination to, in his fasting and his prayer. You have to realize they're already on the road. They're already walking. And he's got them fasting. So I'm not quite sure what all they volunteered. Who knows? If it's desperate to you, you will fast and pray and seek God's direction on it. It's so important. Oh, what was he fasting for? He was fasting for protection. And the interesting thing in that little story is he couldn't tell the king, gosh, would you send me some soldiers to safely get us to Jerusalem? He couldn't do that because he had already told the king that his God was able to protect them. Then you can't go to him and say, "Could you, by the way, could you send me some soldiers?" So he's depending on the Lord, and period. So that's why they were praying. Of course, Ezra knew that God was in charge. When I heard some of the statistics yesterday at leaders' meeting about the amount of gold, I don't know how they ever got it off the ground. They had so much gold and silver that they were taking with them. I don't know, it must have been a lot of oxen or something. They got it over to Jerusalem. But you can imagine the field day that some wicked men could have by robbing them on the road. So Ezra was right in keeping when he's asking and praying for God's protection. He knew the word. Ezra knew nothing more than you and I. He knew the word. He didn't take prayer or promises for granted. Neither should we. I found a few more things in the Living Bible that I pass on to you about Ezra. Besides, be careful how you talk about an Ezra, because I have a great-grandson named Ezra. They call him Ezzy. He's really cute. This is about Ezra now. It is not personal achievement, but personal commitment. Okay, go back. Not personal achievement, but personal commitment to live for God that is important. Achievements are simply used as examples of what God can do through someone's life. The most effective leaders spoken of in the Bible had little awareness of their impact on others. They were too busy obeying God to keep track of their successes. Ezra fits that description. About 80 years after the rebuilding of the temple under Zerubbabel, Ezra returned to Judah with about 2,000 men and their families. He was given a letter, that's this edict, from King Artaxerxes, instructing him to carry out a program of religious education. Well, can you imagine that? You join the army or the Marines, and they give you an education, religious education. Oh, it's amazing. Along with the letter came significant power, but long before Ezra's mission began, God had shaped him with three important controls for the power he was being given. First, as a scribe, he dedicated himself to carefully studying God's word. He was to be given, first of all, as a scribe, he applied the word and obeyed the commands he discovered in God's word. Third, he was committed to teaching others both God's word and its application to life. Oh, that was just great. Ezra achieved great things in his life, but he had significant impact because he had the right starting place for his actions and his life, God's word. He studied it seriously and applied it faithfully. He taught others what he learned. He is therefore a great model for anyone who wants to live for God. So these are his strengths and accomplishments. He was committed to study, follow, and teach. He led the second group of exiles from Babylon to Jerusalem. May have written 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We don't know. Concerned about keeping the details of God's commands sent by King Artaxerxes to Jerusalem to evaluate the situation, set up a religious education system, and to return with a first-hand report. He worked alongside Nehemiah during the last spiritual awakening of the Old Testament. You know, there's some lessons we can learn. A person's willingness to know and practice God's word will have a direct effect on how God uses him or her in later life. The situation, the starting place for serving God is personal commitment to to serve him today, even before knowing what service in the future might be. And his vital statistics again, he was born in Babylon, never had seen Jerusalem. He had an occupation of being a scribe, a king's envoy, a teacher, a priest, and of course he had a priest as a father. Contemporaries with him is Nehemiah and Artaxerxes. This was because Ezra had determined to study and obey the laws of the Lord and to become a Bible teacher, teaching those laws to the people of Israel. The reason we're in such trouble today is we simply don't know the word. It would just so change our country. Father, we thank you for the example that you give us through the life of Ezra. Thank you that you raised up a man not only open to your word, Lord, but obedient to it and digesting it and learning it. Lord, I don't know who taught him in Babylon, but some priests took those records and brought them with him and taught people like Ezra. What an amazing thing to cherish the word so much. And Lord, I'm grateful that Ezra went on to be such an example, and he was so open about how faithful you are. Lord, the very next thing that any of us will do will be meeting you, and that we look forward to. What day that will be when we'll be home finally and in your presence. Thank you for each lady, Lord. If there's someone here today that doesn't know you, hasn't invited you into their lives, doesn't know that their sins are forgiven by your precious blood, that this might be the day where they reach out and say, yes, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life and never leave me. Help me to live like Ezra, to know your word, and to live by it. May we make a difference here in this dark world. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.